All right, I wanted to start out again with a little story. I made this one up, but let's imagine that there are two guys named Ken and Dave. They are both married to wonderful wives, and today is their anniversary. Ken looks at the calendar in the morning and remembers today is his wedding anniversary. He quickly leaves the house, stops at Caribou to grab a coffee, and goes to work. The boss asks him if he can put in a few hours of overtime in, and he says yes. When he gets home that evening, he sits down in front of the TV and watches baseball for several hours until he's ready to go to sleep. When he and his wife are in bed later that evening, she turns to him and asks him if he remembers what day it is. He replies, "Yes, it's our anniversary." He then rolls over and starts snoring. And I hope you guys, you're all on mute, but I hope that you guys are groaning right now at Ken's behavior. Dave woke up that morning and remembered it was his wedding anniversary. He quietly sneaks to the kitchen to prepare bacon and eggs so he can serve his wife breakfast in bed. She says, "Thank you for making me such a nice breakfast before you go to work." He replies, "Honey, I'm not going into work today. It's our anniversary, and I have the whole day planned for us." They then go for a walk downtown, go to a movie she was hoping to see, have lunch at her favorite restaurant, go horseback riding all afternoon, and grill steaks for dinner when they get home. I hope you guys are on mute, but I hope you're saying, "Woohoo, Dave." All right. So Ken and Dave both remembered their anniversary, but only one of them found fulfillment and joy in remembering. When Ken remembered, he simply captured a memory, and he found that he and his wife were not getting along well the succeeding week. When Dave remembered, he captured a memory, but then put thought and action into it, and found that he and his wife experienced friendship and intimacy the rest of the week. So what we're going to be looking at this morning, how to remember something and then put action to it instead of just capturing a memory. So before we get started, just wanted a quick recap as to where we've been the last several weeks. We're looking at the nation of Israel. They're at Mount Sinai. Yahweh God has just rescued them from their bondage in Egypt. And we have a few million people set free from slavery, but they're not living free. They need boundaries in order to experience spiritual freedom. And now the Lord God is giving them 10 commandments to follow to experience true freedom. And if the people can obey God's law, they will be his treasured possession forever. So we've already looked at the first three commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idols. And you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And this morning we're going to look at the fourth commandment. So if you would turn with me to Exodus 20, we're going to be reading verses 8 through 11. All right, Exodus 20, 8 through 11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So look at the first sentence there. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." We need to understand three key words here before we can move forward. And those words are remember, Sabbath, and holy. So the Hebrew word for remember is zakar. I'm not expecting anyone to remember that because I probably won't either. But to zakar does not mean to simply find a thought in your memory. It means to engage in an action that the remembrance requires. So just like the story of the two husbands that I told, one captured the memory, but one remembered and engaged with it. So when remember is used here in Exodus 20, verse 8, we're putting an action to this memory. The word Sabbath, for those who are unfamiliar with that, means to cease or to rest. So there's a day of rest or ceasing from work. And the word holy means sacred or to set apart. So there's a day that's different. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Means that God wants his people to observe and engage in resting in order to keep that day set apart from the rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. So work hard for the glory of God, but then cease from working to rest and remember what the Lord has done. Deuteronomy 5:15, this is when right before they go into the promised land and Moses is giving this sermon, he's repeating a lot of the law that they received at Mount Sinai. So Deuteronomy 5:15 says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore Yahweh your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." I think God's saying, hey, you're going to forget who you were, what I rescued you from, and where I brought you if you don't cease from your labor. So Sabbath, I made a day for you to stop and remember and worship. So who is this command for? We look at verse 10 and it says, "On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates." And I think it's amazing that this command to remember and rest is not only given to the Hebrew men and their families, but to others as well. So think about this from a slave's perspective. The Sabbath day was a day of freedom every week. Think about this from a sojourner's point of view. Everything changes on the Sabbath when I'm with these people. Why? Who is this God that they worship and serve? To Middle Eastern culture at the time, this would be very radical. God declared humanity and dignity over women, slaves, and strangers. And even the animals had a day to cease from their labor. I believe many people struggle with the concept of Sabbath. Either they don't take time to make it holy as God commanded, or they work so hard at obeying the commandment that they never find rest. As we read in Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, we see the Jewish people going to extreme measures to not break the Sabbath. Jewish rabbinical tradition lists 39 categories of acts forbidden on the Sabbath. So these are traditions. This is not from God's law, but I'll mention a few here. The rabbis teach in their traditions that they can't plant or plow, cook or bake, sew or tie, write or erase, construct or deconstruct, igniting or extinguishing a fire, and moving things from one place to another. And they have even debated whether picking up your child was a violation of working on the Sabbath. And I thought that these were only traditions back in Jesus' day, but a few years ago, when we were living in New Jersey, I went to visit a church member at a Jewish hospital in New York City and noticed there was a special elevator called a Shabbat elevator. Pushing a button in the elevator would close a circuit, thus breaking the Sabbath tradition of not igniting or extinguishing a fire. So this elevator was programmed to stop at every floor automatically. These types of religious traditions are still practiced today in many Jewish communities. And over the last several weeks, we've been seeing how each of the Ten Commandments are going after a heart issue. For a couple millennia, God's people that we've been reading about, that they've gathered around Mount Sinai, they've been trying to obey the fourth commandment and keep the Sabbath in their own strength and power. And when we look carefully in the New Testament, we see how Jesus points out the hypocrisy of those trying to do so. In Mark 2, the Pharisees get angry because Jesus' disciples pick some heads of grain on the Sabbath. And Jesus says to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." In Mark 3, Jesus enters a synagogue and heals a man with a withered hand. The Pharisees get angry. Jesus says to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" In Luke 13, Jesus is teaching in a synagogue and a disabled woman comes in. Jesus saw her, called her over, and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." The leader of the synagogue gets angry and rebukes the people, but Jesus responds, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And in Luke 14, a man with dropsy was healed by Jesus while the angry Pharisees watched him. Jesus responded to them saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then Jesus took the man and healed him and sent him away. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus has said he is Lord of the Sabbath and that the Sabbath is a day to do good. The Sabbath is a day of freedom, and that the Sabbath is a day of mercy. Jesus was not bound by man-made traditions and rules. He fulfilled the law concerning the Sabbath with a pure heart, the way God intended, but he also transformed the way people were to keep it. Hebrews chapter 4 is a definitive passage regarding Jesus as our Sabbath rest. The writer of Hebrews tells his readers to enter into the Sabbath rest offered by Jesus Christ. He pleads with them not to harden their hearts against him like their forefathers did in the wilderness. Because of their sin of unbelief, God would not let that sinful generation enter the promised land. Hebrews 3:11 quotes God saying, "They shall not enter into my rest." In the next chapter, the author again warns his readers not to sin against God by rejecting the fulfillment of the Sabbath rest found in Jesus. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. To be a Christian means we stop working for our salvation and rest securely in Christ's finished work. Jesus is the true Sabbath. And we've seen now how Jesus fulfilled the law and how we can only find true spiritual rest in him alone. But there has been a Sabbath principle since the beginning of creation. Let's look back at Exodus 20, verse 11. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So God created the universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh. It was a day to reflect on and admire his finished work. When God gave the Hebrews the Sabbath at Mount Sinai, they were to labor for 6 days and rest on the seventh. It was a day to remember how God rescued them from slavery in Egypt and trust him to provide for their every need. Likewise, Christians today are to obey the Sabbath by trusting Jesus' finished work on the cross and put faith in him to be our Savior, Provider, and Sustainer. The Sabbath day gives us time to remember, reflect, revive, and ready ourselves for the next 6 days of labor. So what does this mean for us practically, church? In Calvin's Institutes, we read that the Sabbath is a day to gather for worship, a day to rest from our labors, but also find our spiritual rest in Christ every day of the week. So with the theology and the principle of the Sabbath in mind, I want to ask 10 questions. Do we believe Jesus fulfilled God's good law? Do we believe Jesus is the true Sabbath and we can only find our spiritual rest in Him? Do we take a Sabbath rest from our weekly labor to reflect on the finished work of Christ? Do we take a Sabbath rest from our weekly labor to connect with Jesus and His people? Do we take a Sabbath rest from our weekly labor to prepare for eternity? Do we take a Sabbath rest from our weekly labor to reflect the rhythm of God from creation? Do we take a Sabbath rest from our weekly labor to enjoy life and relationships the way God designed? Do we look at the Sabbath as a restriction or a blessing? Do we teach our children Sunday is the day we go to church, or do we teach them it is the day we squeeze in church? And might we be better off rejoicing that we get to Sabbath rather than we have to Sabbath? And I want to confess to you guys this morning, I wholeheartedly believe in the theology of the Sabbath, but I'm pretty bad at keeping the principle of the Sabbath. I rarely take a full day to Sabbath, and I want to express my desire and commitment to remembering the Sabbath in a way that puts my belief in its rest into action. And I'm going to actively seek a Sabbath day, and I want to encourage each of you to adjust your schedules and trust God's design for rest in Christ and His finished work. I think God can make up for the time that we think we're losing by not working or pursuing the things we need to do. And He'll make up for that time if we just rest and reflect and worship. So the Sabbath is all about worship and rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's take a minute to repent of the ways we have sinned against the Lord by sinning against the fourth commandment. So if we could just take a minute, quietly confess to the Lord in our hearts the way that we've sinned, and then we will end in prayer.